Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
So thank you. I really appreciate you guys taking time out of your summer weekend to be here. We are continuing our series of values because values are incredibly important. And you know, you can walk into most people's homes and find out what their values are, not because like they write them on the wall, but because of you see how their dishes are placed out. You see if they have a very clean home or a super clean home like mine. You're welcome. Not at all, right? Because one of our values in our family is fun. And so my idea of fun is, and Nikki's idea of fun is a little bit different because Nikki's, it's Saturday morning, we should clean the house. And I'm like, hey kids, would you rather clean or go on a hike? And I win. So there's Legos everywhere, right? But your values really help you move through this world, move through your job, move through your emotions, move through the way you love. And they help like navigate you so you can actually move with clarity and purpose. And last week, Kaylee talked about fun. Today, I'm talking about purpose. Imagine that, since I just name dropped that. Purpose is incredibly important. And I heard this story. I actually shared this about 3 years ago. The story of these two guys were sitting in a little pub, and they were coming off like a 14-hour shift, and they're sharing a frozen pizza, because what do? After a long day of work, frozen pizza feeds the soul. So they're sitting there, exhausted, and on the screen is ESPN. And ESPN had, it's like their national signing day. So if you're a football player and you're in high school, you got to declare by putting on the hat of what school you want to go to. And everyone chose Minnesota Gophers because we're the greatest college of all time. So, and they put on the hat and they're watching it and they're like, ESPN, who has billions of dollars and has millions and millions and millions of this audience, is choosing to show what these high schoolers are declaring to make, like to do. We don't even know how good they are. And they got this idea of like, what if we could have a school where the whole idea is to get kids to not just graduate high school, but prepare them to someday to go to some sort of secondary education. And then, like, what if, like, our graduation was they would get up on stage in front of everyone and declare what school they're going to or what trade school they're going to? And they actually made it happen. They got a small group of people at first, then we had six seniors. And they were in a town where, like, graduating high school was somewhat celebrated, but the idea of going to college was just, like, not going to happen. And they wanted to change that narrative. They want to move with a different sense of purpose. And so they got together, went through the whole school. They created this culture of where you're forward thinking, of we're not just going to, like, get over the bar. We're going to, like, thrive and succeed. And on graduation day, there were six seniors, and they got up, and they'd walk one-on-one onto the stage, and there'd be all these different hats. And they'd grab one, and they'd throw it on, and hundreds of people there, and they would cheer. And there was one sixth grade girl. It was her first year. And she saw this happen, and she's like, I want to someday be on that stage. I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure I'm up there. And 6 years later, she walks on, and instead of like 200 people there, there's 5,000 people there. That this school expanded, and they brought families and friends. They had to go to a local university to rent out their auditorium, and tons and tons of kids would walk up with this dream of, I'm declaring to go to North Carolina State, and the whole place would erupt. See, I love these kind of stories because how many times have you been at a pub eating frozen pizza right after work? How many times have you been walking down the road? How many times have you been like flipping through Instagram or maybe talking with a friend where this idea comes to you? Maybe it's this picture, maybe you see an injustice, maybe you see an opportunity, maybe you get like this inspiration and you're like, I can actually do that. Like I can solve that. I could see if we did move these things around, we could accomplish and thrive and get there. And here, we like these stories because someone actually did it and made a lasting impact for generations and generations of kids pursuing getting their college degree. But for most of us, okay, I'll just speak for myself. I've been here lots of times, like, we could do this, we can make a change, it's gonna be really good, and here's our purpose. But then you start thinking through, well, what's that gonna cost me? And what are people gonna say? And that's gonna eat up a lot of my time. And what if I don't get it right? What if we get halfway through it and we just see that it doesn't work? And we let the idea of the unknown freeze us or pause us, and so we take a step back and say, well, my purpose must be something different. And it's easy to know what your purpose in life is, when there's a burning building, right? Your purpose is to what? Get out. You should all be yelling this together. Get out, right? Write that down. Burning building, get out, right? But if you're outside the building and there's a mom and realizes that one of her kids didn't get out, her purpose is to go into that building, right? She's not going to second guess that. She's going to move because she knows with clarity, what is my purpose? Why do I exist right now? Is to go get my son. And no one like questions like, well, maybe that's not your purpose. Maybe you should like run that through a panel discussion. Maybe you should go and do a little research. It's like there's something inside of you that screams, and we celebrate of go after clarity on your purpose. But what do you do like on a Monday morning? And Jerry from accounting is in that conference meeting and he's clipping his fingernails and they're hitting on the table and you see it, right? And you got some stale coffee. Like, what is your purpose then? To tell Jerry to not clip his toenails. Guys, come on, we should all be on the same page here, right? But your purpose in your life, when there's not some trauma, there's not some crisis, sometimes you feel like, well, what is my purpose with Jerry from accounting with his fingernails? Like, what is my purpose as I'm just sitting at home, I'm a stay-at-home parent? What is my purpose as I'm working an extra, like, 20 hours to help pay off debt? What is my purpose through this messy relationship with my partner? What is my purpose sitting in a hot building, right here? Sometimes it's a little harder to define. It's hard to put our finger on it. And the reason that we chose purpose as one of our values, we want to do everything on purpose as much as we can, and we want to live with a purpose. Like, I highly, highly believe in living in clarity and moving forward. So we're going to talk today, then, what is our purpose as a community, but also just as individuals, as a good human. Like, what is our purpose for life? And I know that's like big, but it's like, it's there. And where we see it is in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and I'm reading, I think I might have a different translation, but that is okay. We're starting in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And this is Jesus. Just then, a religion scholar stood up with a question to test Jesus, which is always a great way to start. I'm going to show this guy who he is, right? The question to test Jesus, he says, "Teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life?" He answered, "What's written in God's law, and how do you interpret it?" He said that you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. Jesus answered, "Good answer." Good answer. Do it and you will live, right? Like, Jesus has this way of like, hey, I'm going to show you Jesus. He's like, great, what's your question? Hey, what's your answer? Sounds great, go do it, right? And what Jesus is getting here is this guy is coming after Jesus and maybe out of a place of contention, of like, I'll show you, big guy, or maybe out of sincerity and honesty of like, I want to get into heaven. Like, that is a question we should be asking ourselves all the time, right? Like, how do I actually, like, do this thing? And what he's asking is, like, what commandment, what rule, like, where do we draw the lines? And we love clear lines, right? Like, at work, and says, you can't leave until 5 p.m. At 4:55, you're sitting at your computer with your suitcase, whatever you bring, and you're just sitting there like, I'm just waiting. Why? Because at 5 p.m., I'm out that door, right? And if the boss asks you to stay after 5, you can say, sorry, we've got clear boundaries here, don't we, right? We like it because we can dance around it. And this is why at this time, the Israelites had over 600 laws, 600 commandments that told you not so much what you could do, it's more important of what you can't do, right? If you're in some kind of rule-bounded set, it's way easier to find out and get clear of what I can't do because then I can just go and do a bunch of other things as long as I can check this off the box. And Jesus answers it differently. As what my friend Nick Hansen would say, Chris, you got to vibrate higher, right? Jesus elevates the conversation, brings it bigger instead of about being a commandment. Because if you even take the Ten Commandments, right? Take the Ten Commandments. And we put them on like in front of the court, the jailhouse. And those are good because it says like, hopefully walk by and says, do not kill. You're like, oh, I'm glad that sign's there, right? Because I don't want to go in there if I killed someone. And if you take it as a checkbox, don't lie, don't worship any other gods before me, and you just look at it as a list of things, you are missing out on a depth of richness and beauty. Because it's not just about not killing people. Like, spirituality, like living a Jesus-looking life, is something a whole lot more than just not doing something. Really, underneath the don't kill anyone is saying that every single person has a rich value in and of themselves, not by what they do or behave. In and of themselves, God lives. The divine is imprinted on them. And if you look at it that way of like, don't lie, right? It's not just about like just say only speak truth, and if you don't like it, you're gonna have to hear it. It's saying that when you show up vulnerable, when you show up to be honest, when you show up in your certainty, you show up in your uncertainty, in your grayness, in your frustration, like really God is saying the real you might be excited, the real you might feel a little bit of emotional mess, the real you might be bored. And what God is saying, when you show up fully yourself, that's where the kingdom of God lives. And when we lie, what we're telling people is saying, I'm like, the real me is not worth it. Because you're looking for a different picture of me. You're looking for a different version of me because that who I am right now is less than who you think I should be. And this is what a lot of people do in circle of friends. Sadly, it's what we do a lot in spiritual circles. How you doing today? Blessed and saved, right? It's like, that's good, but like, how are you really doing? And to lie, to not be honest is not the way that God's inviting us to live. Can you see that? You could take all the Ten Commandments and see like, worship no other gods before me. Why? Because there is this big picture of who God is, and that God is worth getting to know. So Jesus then is, instead of saying, what is the commandment? He goes to, well, you're supposed to love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, body, soul, like your intelligence, creativity, your mental health. Every single part of you is to use the energy towards loving God. Like the real you showing up to love this God. And then to use it to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And instead of going to a checklist, instead of going to like an operation manual, Jesus says, this is who we are. It's not just how you behave. It's this is who we are. This is what you do. If you want to get into heaven, you want to get into the kingdom of God, then it's not a performance. It's you show up in love, period. You show up in love, always. You show up in love when you understand. You show up in love when you don't. You show up in love when you agree. You show up in love when you disagree. You show up in love when you're excited about being there. You're walking into the family reunion and you are not super excited, right? You show up in love. Why? Because that's what Jesus-looking people do. And that, I can tell you, is significantly harder than just doing a bunch of lists. This is easier. Because we know what's right or wrong. We know who's in or out. We know who's winning or not winning. And that's why they use this law to divide people of like who's holy and who's super holy. Like some people would try keeping way more commands than other people. And Jesus is saying, that's great. Like seriously, keep doing that. Those are healthy things of where you can sit, what you can eat, of when you can work and when you can't work. Those are really healthy things. But Jesus is saying, but like that's positive, but let's ask the right questions. That question of like, well, how are we getting to heaven by the commandment? You're saying, you're asking the wrong question. There's a bigger question that should get your energy. There's a bigger question about what it looks like to love. And it's perfect because this guy says, right, Jesus, then like, who's my neighbor? If it says like, I'm supposed to love my neighbor as I love myself, then who's my neighbor? And Jesus, again, tells a story because Jesus is really good at telling stories. And starting verse 29, this is what he says. Looking for a loophole, the man asked, and just how would you define neighbor? Jesus answered by telling a story. There was once a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. On the way, he was attacked by robbers. They took his clothes, beat him up, and went off leaving him half dead. Luckily, a priest was on the way down the same road, but when he saw him, he angled across to the other side. Then a Levite religious man showed up. He also avoided the injured man. A Samaritan traveling the road came on him, and when he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. He gave him first aid, disinfecting and bandaging his wounds, and he lifted him onto his donkey, led him to an inn, and made him comfortable. In the morning, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take good care of him. If it costs any more, put it on my bill, and I'll pay you back on my way back." What do you think? Which of the three became a neighbor to the man attacked by the robbers? Verse 37, the one who treated him kindly. The religion scholar responded, and Jesus said, "Go and do the same." I love this story. Because you have to understand where Jesus is. The reason he's telling this story is, hey, what's the commandment I have to follow? Jesus elevates it, right? Saying, like, this is who we are, not just what you do, who you are, is we show up in love. Okay, so I'm supposed to love my neighbor as I love myself. Well, then who's my neighbor? And he tells the story. And in the story, Jesus doesn't like just throw words, right? He's very specific. Because how they would teach and how we teach one another, how we tell our kids, how we teach values is going to be mostly through stories, right? Well, how did you and mom meet? Well, we just fell in love. That's it, right? You tell the story, all right, of me telling my wife that she had big beaver teeth, right? That's how it started, right? You tell your story of like, what does it look like to love as a family? Well, it's tell a story of how you were born and what we did and how we drove way too fast to get there and drove 5 miles on the way home, right? Because you're so afraid. There's a human in my back seat, right? Like we use stories to share bigger truths, bigger pictures. And Jesus is telling a story with purpose. Because here, there's a man on the side of the road. He gets beat up, half dead, bloody. And the first person to come down is a priest, is a rabbi. And the rabbi doesn't touch the man. He actually crosses the street to avoid him. Not just because he's like, whoa, I got things to do, right? The first two people, the reason that they would not engage is because if you touched blood, you were unclean, right? You were ceremonially unclean. And that would lead to a whole series of events where you'd have to go through a process, these rituals of washing and purification. And so you would avoid that because it was celebrated, right, to be a rabbi, to be this Levite, this high religious person. It was celebrated to hold on to the tradition. This is what they were taught. This is what the Bible said. This is how you operate. This is what you do over and over and over and over and over again. And you are holy and you are accepted. And this is a pious life. And this is a good life to operate and behave. And we have history and history of holding the same tradition. And they understood that. As religious people, they understood what the Bible said and what history said. And so they cross the street and move on. And they would be slapped on the back when they showed up at that temple. If you were ready to perform your religious ceremonies, you are ready now to present the Torah. You are ready and clean and with this purpose of being holy. And what Jesus says is different. Because the Samaritan is the one who crosses the road, who gets blood on his hands, who picks him up, throws him on his donkey, who pays his bill, who takes the bandages off, cleans them, put them back on, and shows love and kindness and compassion. And this man would be in the same exact spot as the two other priests, except this man, a Samaritan, was the outsider. The man that was got beat up on the side of the road, traditionally probably would have, the racial slurs would have been used towards the Samaritans. They were like, oh, that's cute that you're trying, but we are so much better. Why? Because we have these laws. We have this history. We have this book, and you are less than because you're not in this group. And this man would have been ridiculed by his parents. So why would you touch the very one who oppresses us? You are unclean. Why? Who do you think you are going to help the people who very much are fighting against us? Do you know what they said about your grandpa? Do you know what they did to your great-grandpa? Instead of going along to his party lines, instead of going back to just his tradition, instead of the different than what the religious leaders of sticking to their tradition, their history, this man looked at not as another Jew, but looked as a human. In a different translation, it says that he was moved with compassion. He was moved with love. In this moment, he understands what his purpose is. Is our purpose to be right? I've been thinking about this for a long time. Is my purpose as a pastor, let's even get rid of that word, right? Is my purpose just as a Jesus-looking man, is it to be right? I like to be right. I really like being right, okay? Or is there something bigger? Simply just being right. And what we see in this story, and we see it through the parables over and over again, we look at the Old Testament, it's not about being right, it's about showing up in love. And this Samaritan crosses the boundaries, he crosses the line, he crosses tradition, and he lays his hands on him. He just doesn't throw some money at the floor saying, well, better luck next time. He gets low. He touches two worlds coming together, two different paths coming together and saying, this is what it looks like to love your neighbor. And when Jesus says, who was the best neighbor? Who showed up in love, right? He doesn't say who wins, what's the right way of behaving. He's saying, what does it look like to operate, to be? And it's the Samaritan. So my question to you is this. What is your purpose? If it's to love, what does it look like? Because the thing I love about the church, like big church, right? Like all the church, is that we can move in different places of what love looks like. The way I love God, the thing I really love about this community and those listening on this podcast is that we talk about how you can be at different places of what it looks like to worship, what it looks like to stand up for justice, what it looks like to vote. We're not going to talk about that. Right? What it looks like to spend your time, energy, and money. And we say, and you are included. And you are loved. Why? Because this is what Jesus-looking people do. And the way that you love should look differently than me. It should. Because the way that I love in my job, in my profession, right? I love getting up here and talking. I love having hard conversations. I love sitting around talking about theology. I love talking, hearing about your stories. And the way that maybe you love, the way you love your neighbor might be through baking a cake. The way you love your neighbor might be showing up with your leadership in the boardroom. The way you love might be getting low and playing with kids. Is the way that you love is beautiful. And anytime you feel, well, if I love like that, if I show up like this, if I use my love, my energy, my creativity, my curiosity, and you think of, well, they're going to laugh or they're going to reject or they're going to move me into a different category, they're going, whatever it might be, that is a real thing. And every single person has to walk through that because until you get to that place of, I want to love, I want to solve that problem, I want to move closer to that person. It might even be, honestly, it might even be, I want to move closer to my spouse, my partner. But you feel like, I don't know how to do that. This is how we've operated for the last 15 years. We just pretend it's good enough. The way to love your partner is not just to take the same tradition, to take the same storyline. It's to get curious and move towards that person and maybe in an uncomfortable conversation. But it's worth it, isn't it? Because it's in the pain, it's in the scuffle, not physically, right? Don't do that, right, please, right? It's in that emotional scuffle. It's in that process that there is a deeper truth, there is a deeper love to be known. And when you can find that purpose, when you ask the right questions, instead of asking this question, you get bigger and say, all right, what is God doing in me and through me, and what does it look like today to show up in love? That is where you will find heaven. Let's stand. Let's pray. So let me pray. So God, we love you. Yeah. We love you. And I never want those to be empty words. I never want that just to be a transitional word. That in this space of these beautiful friends, we can say from being at different spots, being from different stories, from having different feels, different dreams, we can honestly say, God, that we love you. And we want to know what it looks like to love with our strength. What it looks like to love with our minds. What it looks like to love with our body. Yeah, just even that. We can be so unkind to our bodies. And I pray for my friends who wake up in the morning and look at their body in shame. You look at their body and it's with scorn. It's less than. Holy Spirit, will you come? And I ask that you would give us love for our body, kindness to our body. And the reason that we can do that, because you look at us. You look at us and say that we are loved. And I pray that you would show us how we can love our neighbor. that we can spot the people who are like pushed to the side, like the man got beat up left on the road. Who are the people that were walking along our path, just like the religious people and the Samaritan, just going on the path that probably traveled hundreds of times? Who are the people that we aren't seeing? Who are the people that we're just like stepping over? And you help us to be able to identify them. And then God, I pray with a sense of purpose. And that purpose is love, but God, will you show us what that, how to love that person, how to love that people, how to love even Jerry from accounting. If he exists, then yes, Lord, love him too, right? What practically can we do on purpose to show love? And I pray for my friends here, including me, who sometimes feel a sense of fear, who maybe feel like a sense of like, you can't raise your hand and ask that question. God, I pray you'd fill us with moxie. You'd fill us with hope. That we can show up in love. And we will be loved. So we love you, God. Amen. I'd like to invite our ministry team up. These are people who are for you and want nothing but good and beautiful things in your life and through your life. And you can come up and get prayer for anything, but there's two things I wrote down that seemed like they stood out to me. First one is this: you feel lack of purpose and you're tired of the mundane. I know you're thinking like, it's summer, everything's awesome and everything's like really hip and bright, and maybe you're hearing like, no, especially if you have young kids, right? It can be hard. You could be here and not have kids and be felt like you're stuck in the mundane and you're tired of it and you feel like, I have a bigger purpose, I just can't get there. Yeah, you're in great company. So if you'd like prayer for that, come on up. And the second thing is this. Oh, this is good. You see an opportunity to love, but you can see and hear the pushback and the cost. And I just even get a picture of like, You want to move forward to whatever that dream is, whatever that purpose is, but you feel instantly there's just a hand that's like pulling you back. It's pushing back, like not hard, just gently saying, nope, we don't do that. If that's you, like I encourage you to come and get prayer. And I don't think that, maybe it is God. That's not my job to tell you, but it might not be. It might be an opportunity for the divine calling you into something deeper and even more rich and more beautiful. Come up for anything if you'd like. Thank you for coming today, friends, and we'll see you at Gordy's.